When you think about Thanksgiving and many other holidays, you think of food. We're taking a look at food, family, and traditions. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Carson Cooper. Our reporters are taking you into the kitchen today, sharing stories about cooking and eating. Florida Matters' Susan Giles-Wantuck gets us started.
I wish you could be a fly on the wall here in the WUSF newsroom. We talk about all kinds of things, but one subject comes up again and again, and that's food. We have potlucks, share recipes, and often ideas about what to make for dinner or where to go for dinner. So when we discussed this edition of Florida Matters, I immediately thought about cookbook author Larry Roebling. Like Chef Gusteau in the popular Disney film Ratatouille, she believes
anyone can cook.
I do believe that. I think anyone can cook, and I think even more importantly, anybody can enjoy cooking.
Roebling knows cooking, and she's the Philadelphia contributor to a new book called 1001 Restaurants You Must Experience Before You Die. But she also champions recipes that are too good to be forgotten and has a book about that, too.
And I think we really need to celebrate the home cook and get people cooking at home again. And it's not as hard as we think it is. And I think one place to start is with the great home cooks that we've grown up with. And we want to save those recipes.
Roebling's book, Endangered Recipes, may have started because of her family's quest for a recipe called Dublin Cold Cannon, which her grandfather could not forget.
My grandfather, he wasn't from Ireland, but, you know, like the next generation coming to America. And there was an aunt that used to make this delicious cabbage dish that he would always talk about and had this memory of this amazing dish. And he said it was sweet and it had dark cabbage in it.
This long search finally ended when Roebling interviewed another cookbook author.
I did interview Dorina Allen one time, and she had written one of her Irish cooking books. And I, just in conversation, told her about this recipe that eluded us. And she says, oh, that's Dublin parsnip cold cannon. I said, what? She says, we mix mashed parsnips with mashed potatoes, and then we mix it with steamed kale. And the Irish call kale cabbage. So that was the secret. The dark cabbage was kale.
And in her book, Endangered Recipes, Roebling encourages people to collect their favorite recipes from the great cooks in their families. That may not be easy because some cooks like to have the kitchen to themselves while they're cooking.
So one way to get around that is before they start to cook, you find out what ingredients they need in a generous amount, and then you let them cook. And then you go back into the kitchen and you measure what's left. And then you do the math and you know how much went into the recipe. And there you have your measurements.
And I couldn't let Roebling go without picking her brain for some holiday cooking tips.
First of all, don't stress about it. And secondly, the biggest tip that I ever received was to use a crock pot for your mashed potatoes, because you can make your mashed potatoes up to about 2 or 3 hours ahead of time and hold them in a crock pot on the lowest setting. And that keeps them warm and delicious and light and fluffy, but it saves you from that last-minute scramble.
And she gave me another tip, and that was to make the pumpkin pie on top of the stove. We have Roebling's recipe for cream pumpkin pie and the ginger snap crumb crust on our website, WUSFnews.org. For Florida Matters, I'm Susan Giles-Wantuck.
We would love to hear your cooking tips. You can send us a tweet with the hashtag NPRCooks. We are at Florida Matters. Florida Minnesota Matters' Bobby O'Brien has an Irish heritage, among other ancestors. Her husband is 100% French-Canadian, and marrying into his clan meant that she learned how to make the traditional French-Canadian meat pie from a family recipe that had been passed down for generations.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm talking to my husband, Earl Armand Quenneville. You have a French-Canadian food tradition.
Oh, oui?
Tourtière. Am I first off saying it right?
Yes, tourtière.
What's your first memory of tourtière?
Mémoire La Fontaine. New Year's Eve for the adults and New Year's Day for the children. New Year's is a big French-Canadian holiday. In some respects, it was even bigger than Christmas. So we'd get together, and there was always tourtière. Tourtière is a meat pie, and it's made different depending on what family you come from. And like, there was a difference between my mother's family and my father's family.
My husband is a second-generation French-Canadian, a La Fontaine on his mother's side and a Quenneville on his father's side. We head to our kitchen to make a tourtière. I pull out my crock pot to simmer the meat. Traditionally, in the Quenneville family, it is half ground beef and half ground pork. But to be a little bit healthier, I've traded out the ground beef for ground turkey. We've got the meat in the crock pot, and then I'm just going to cover it with enough water to be able to just barely cover it. You don't want too much because you're going to have to add thickener later, which for us it's crushed saltine crackers.
Do you want me to sing the Marseillaise in the background?
Okay.
À nos enfants de la patrie, jour de gloire est arrivé.
Not only is he a great taste tester, I love my husband because after 36 years, he still teases me and can make me laugh. I'll let the meat simmer for about an hour in the crock pot, stirring occasionally. The real magic starts when I add the spices. It's a savory pie with rosemary, sage, and thyme, a French favorite. That's lovely. But what makes it unique are the sweet spices. Clove, cinnamon, and allspice.
Allspice is one of my favorite spices. It's like cinnamon. Anything with allspice in it is going to turn out well.
Well, and you just named the other one, cinnamon.
Yeah, cinnamon.
Mm-hmm. Right. And having those together, but with a savory meat.
Yeah. That brings back memories just thinking about it.
What's one of the better memories?
The better memories is eating it.
It's more of an art than it is a recipe. I have written it down a couple of times for my granddaughter and other people, but I don't even know where the written recipe is. Just do it by eyeball.
I've looked up tourtière recipes in cookbooks and on the internet. Some use mashed potatoes, but a handwritten recipe I was given by my husband adds saltine crackers as a thickener.
Empty them into a plastic bag. And this is where I miss my granddaughters, because when they were little, they used to love to crush crackers.
I was so missing our granddaughters, especially Genevieve, or Jenny for short, because I taught her how to make tourtière. So I called her in Missouri and found out she now makes it for her father, Dr. Kenneth Quenneville, my stepson.
Dad says the spiel every time we make it, so he just says that he's had it ever since he was a little boy, and that it's just been kind of like passed down for as long as he can remember.
Do you like the taste of it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I probably wouldn't like it as much if it didn't mean so much.
Really? You think it's the stories why you were even attracted to it?
Probably.
You've heard your dad talk about it. Your pépère. What are your memories of him and tourtière?
Which one?
whatever first comes to mind when you think of him.
It was the first time that we'd ever made it, and I got to carry the plate out to him whenever he was sitting out at the table. And I know you guys must have it all the time, but I don't think I've ever seen him get that excited. He was probably just humoring me.
Oh, no.
that meant a lot to him that you were carrying on the tradition.
Yes, that is definitely his faith. Thank you.
I love you. Thank you, sweetheart.
Love you more. Gotcha.
I love you. Bye-bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
Next, I preheat the oven and make the oil pie pastry. That's what makes my Tourtière crust flaky and not soggy. I measure out flour, salt, oil, and ice water, mixing it until a dough ball forms. I found the secret to an oil pastry is to roll it out between two sheets of wax paper. I've got my trusty rolling pin. What makes this rolling pin special? It was one of the first things my husband bought me, and it's a French rolling pin. And I was so used to the American version with the little handles and the bigger barrel, and he brings me this cylinder of wood, and now I can't roll with the other kind. I put the Tourtière onto a baking sheet that's been preheating in my oven. I bake at 450 degrees for about 30 minutes and then lower the temperature to 350 for another 15 to 20 minutes. Okay. I can smell the cinnamon and the allspice. I know there's plenty of clove in there, thyme, rosemary, sage, salt, pepper, and a lot of love. That's probably the biggest ingredient.
That's a real feel-good feeling. The thought that not just Tourtière, but a lot of things, but the fact that Tourtière is one strong element that years from now will be passed on to Jenny's kids. But yeah, that makes me feel real warm inside.
And I feel good that I have mastered the art of the French-Canadian meat pie, the Tourtière. But even more importantly, I have taught it to our granddaughter, so the Quenneville tradition will continue for generations to come. For Florida Matters, I'm Bobby O'Brien, Quenneville.
Amour sacré de la patrie, conduis soutien au brave vengeur.
We would love to hear about the food you're preparing for the holidays. You can send us a tweet at Florida Matters with the hashtag NPR Cooks. Now, Florida Matters' Joslice Ramos takes us into her family's home for a taste of a Puerto Rican Thanksgiving meal.
Thanksgiving at my house means waking up to Latin music blasting through the speakers as mom starts the day's cleaning, and of course, the smell of the pork shoulder seasoned in adobo, minced garlic, salt and pepper, and sazon coming from the kitchen. My grandma, Teresa Rodriguez, who's always just been abu to me, starts the cooking early in the morning. The pork shoulder sits in the oven at 350 degrees for 6 hours. And abu tells me the secret to getting a crispy skin, what we call el cuero, is done by spreading salt over the top. Mom is the repostera, the baker in charge of sweets, and my grandma cooks the main dishes. For Thanksgiving, the menu typically consists of your usual oven-baked turkey and mashed potatoes, but also a pork shoulder, rice, a potato salad, and for desserts, flan and tembleque. Tembleque is a coconut-flavored pudding specific to the Puerto Rican culture. Now, that may all sound scrumptious, but the most important part of the meal for me is the rice. No other rice has ever tasted like my grandmother's, and it's the most trouble I have in making when I try to duplicate her cooking. She starts by rinsing the rice in water. In a separate pot or caldero, she pours cooking oil, just enough to cover the bottom. She puts the stove temperature on low and throws in some tocino. Tocino is a word for bacon, but in the Caribbean, it's made from pork fatback rather than pork belly. Since this is a large amount of rice for a big meal, it's used here to keep the rice from burning. Abu then adds about a tablespoon of minced garlic and 2 tablespoons of sofrito. It's a concoction of seasonings, including oregano, pepper, and cilantro. This one we're using is homemade, but you can find an already made version in the frozen section of the grocery store. She adds a packet of sazon seasoning, freely spreads some adobo seasoning into the caldero, a can of tomato sauce, and a few green olives with the accompanying liquid. If you're like me, by no means an expert in the kitchen, you might be wondering what are the precise measurements to these ingredients.
No, porque como llevamos tantos años cocinando, pues,
Abu
ya
says she's been cooking for so long, she already knows how much to put into the caldero without having to measure. It's a matter of experience. She tells me she's been cooking since she was 10 years old. She cooked with her grandma and her mom, making all sorts of dishes. And she says, you start from the time you're young. She remembers I used to help her in the kitchen when I was little. I have to be honest. I didn't take good notes during those times I helped Abu in the kitchen, because years later, I still can't get my rice to taste as good as hers. She tells me it's important I learn how to cook. It's important I follow her tradition, being in the kitchen, cooking rice, beans, and other Latin foods. She says that food is an important part of my life. Even my first word was about food. It was arroz, the word for rice. Everybody wanted me to say words for mom or dad, but Abu was a little mischievous. As she reminds me of my childhood memories, she adds into the caldero a batch of homegrown gandules, or pigeon peas, pieces of sausage, and already sautéed pork chunks. Then she adds the 10 or so cups of medium-grained rice. She adds enough water to the rice so it's covered. Now it'll sit on the stove on low heat for about half an hour with minimum mixing intervals. This recipe isn't written down anywhere. Cooking isn't something we write down, but just something we do. Abu says she feels happy and comfortable cooking. She likes it. She likes when the family comes together to eat. We all sit down after filling up our plates with a little bit of everything. I take the fork to my mouth and it all just tastes like home. I'm Joselise Ramos for Florida Matters.
Join the conversation on our Facebook page or send an email to floridamatters@wusf.org. And you can tweet us. We are at Florida Matters. And you can share your recipes with the hashtag NPR Cooks. I'm Kirsten Cooper. This is Florida Matters. This is Florida Matters. I'm Kirsten Cooper, and we are talking about food and eating this holiday week. We recently visited a free cooking class taught by a professional chef who is showing people how they can make better choices about what they eat. As Florida Matters' Lottie Watts reports, you may be surprised by some of the healthy changes that can taste so good.
Who'd have thought raw yellow squash could taste good?
Yeah.
But it does.
Or at least when it's made by Chef Mabel Guzman. She spends most of her time running her own catering company and training professional chefs. But once a month, she drives from Orlando to Zephyr Hills to teach a healthy cooking class at the Humana Guidance Center. Guzman's class is free. It's open to the public, and it's not just for people who have Humana health insurance.
You don't have to use the product that you have in the market. You can make at home and with low sodium, with low fat and that stuff. So it's the healthy way to use the kitchen. No?
Across the country, more than a third of adults are obese. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, among the factors that cause people to be overweight and obese are environment and behavior. Our environment includes the stores where we shop for food and the places where we can do physical activities, things like sidewalks and parks. Behavior gets at the choices we make about exercise and about what and how much we eat. Guzman is helping people address the eating part.
We make two different salads. We have a Thai salad today. It's with beef. You can do with chicken, with fish, with any kind of protein that you want.
And you have a
roast. About 2 dozen people watch her mix a huge stainless steel bowl full of shredded cabbage, green apples, and papaya. They ask her questions when she talks about ingredients that are new or unfamiliar to them.
The farro. Farro is an Italian grain. It's a 7 grain of protein. So it's like rice, brown rice, but it's higher in protein. They maintain your level of sugar more stable. If you have a problem with the sugar, you can use that like a carb. It's better than rice or brown rice, no? Okay, we're going to add the cherry tomatoes.
If you've ever watched a cooking show on TV, you know the trademark close-ups that show off complicated knife skills. You won't find that in Guzman's class.
I try to make everything like easier for them, that they can understand I make at home. If you don't have experience with the knife, you can use the processor and the flavor is going to be the same. You don't have to be a chef to cook something delicious at home.
The power greens are good.
Look at that.
Here you go.
Oh, Jesus, delicious.
Dr. Thomas Robison is a family physician who works for Baycare Medical Group in St. Petersburg. He admits it can be pretty difficult to eat right and exercise.
I think the real nuts and bolts of staying healthy are hard. I mean, you know, I have patients come in and say, no, I'm not going to watch my diet. I'm not going to exercise. Just give me, you know, some pills.
Gene Nichols doesn't fit that patient profile.
It's not how long you live. It's how well you live. It's just, you may not live to be 95, but it's nice to feel strong and healthy. And I ride my bicycle every day.
So she's pretty healthy already, but I asked her if she has changed how she cooks since she started coming to the healthy cooking classes about 8 months ago.
I think that the fact that she talks about those things makes us all more health conscious. You know, we look at labels and try not to get too much salt. That's the main thing for me because I take a blood pressure pill and I know I don't want to have to take a stronger one, so.
Nichols was one of many students that day who asked if there was any way Chef Mabel Guzman could teach her healthy cooking class for them more often than once a month.
I'm voting that you come twice a month at least, maybe every week.
And a little bit. Okay.
For Florida Matters, I'm Lottie Watts.
For our WUSF Thanksgiving get-together, Robin Sussingham brought a coconut cream pie from Reese Cliff Family Diner. Reese Cliff's pies are quite well known around Lakeland, and Robin went behind the scenes in the Reese Cliff kitchen to take a peek at the baker in action.
Reese Cliff Family Diner has been operating in the Dixieland neighborhood in Lakeland since 1934. In 1953, a teenager named Jeanette Mobley came to work there, and Miss Jeanette, as she was called, baked pies for Reese Cliff for the next 60 years. For decades, Reese Cliff has been famous in Lakeland for Miss Jeanette's made-from-scratch pies. And although Miss Jeanette retired about 2 years ago, their tradition continues with May Smith. May says Jeanette started teaching her to bake a few years ago.
They asked me, did I want to work with her? They taught me how to do it. I didn't know nobody. I never made a pie in my life. But she taught me everything I know. We talk to her over the phone. If I need to know something, I can always call her and she'll tell me what to do.
May is 68 years old and petite. She rolls out and bakes her pies in a small corner of the busy restaurant kitchen. It's the breakfast shift, and workers hurry back and forth through the cooler door next to her. And she's wearing puffy plastic bags on her feet.
May, why are you wearing bags on your shoes?
What she said, you said.
May and her co-worker Willie Lee Johnson have a good laugh over that. Turns out someone had suggested to May that maybe she take the bags off for this interview.
I
I'm so messy when it comes to flour. I have flour everywhere, and it be all over my shoe. So I put the bags on there so the flour won't get on my black shoe.
It makes sense. May is rolling out a lot of pie crusts. She makes 20 to 25 pies every morning. The biggest sellers right now are the coconut cream pies and the cherry pies. The pies cost $12 to $17 a piece.
I make, so many. Apples, cherries, peach, egg custard, coconut cream, chocolate cream, pecan, regular pecan, chocolate pecan, peanut butter, wild berries, and potato pie, and pumpkin pie. Now I make a pumpkin pie, right? Make a lot of pies.
Right now, May's rolling out the crust for several egg custard pies. The pastry dough for the crust is made in-house also.
We do everything homemade. You don't buy nothing. You make it from scratch.
Burielle Osborne makes the pastry dough.
Call me Ozzy. I'm Ozzy.
So do you eat the pie? Do you like the pie, too?
I don't eat pie. When I was raised up, my mom she had me so many pies, I don't eat them now. Once I got grown and got on my own, I don't eat no pie. Period. Well, I don't mind help making them and stuff like that or cooking them and stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know they're popular here.
Yes, it is. We be up all night long making these things out here. That's why one reason why I don't eat them neither.
Ozzy's talking about Thanksgiving when he says they're up all night. They'll sell 300 pies or more the day before Thanksgiving. Ozzy, May, and Willie will get in at midnight and bake pies for 18 straight hours. Hazel Wood is Reese Cliff's general manager.
Thanksgiving is our biggest, and everybody works very hard, especially May and Willie. They work very hard at making the pies.
Do you already have any coconut cream made for today?
Yes, I do.
Can you set one aside for me?
I will. Absolutely. I absolutely will.
For Florida Matters, I'm Robin Sussingham in Lakeland.
And that's it for today's show. We would love to hear about the food you're preparing for the holidays. You can send us a tweet at Florida Matters with the hashtag NPR Cooks. You can also join the conversation on our Facebook page or send an email to floridamatters@wusf.org. Florida Matters is produced by Lottie Watts and is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Kirsten Cooper. Thanks for listening.